Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. Today, sitting to my right, is Phil Davidson. Good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
Phil with the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. No Ed today.
No Ed.
I believe Ed is traveling and doing God's work in growing the coalition. And you know what, you know what Ed gave me?
What did he give you?
Sciatica. Remember he was talking about sciatica?
You got it?
All of a sudden, my back hurts.
How did he give it to you?
I don't know.
Maybe listeners don't want to know the answer to that question.
Is it catchy?
I don't know.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm totally blaming him.
Yes.
Because like now all of a sudden like I'm getting up.
It's,
like,
it's no joke, I'm told.
Oh, my God. I've had it a few times. It generally, for me, it's triggered by driving.
Ah.
And we do so much driving. That I just think that's where it's coming from.
Well, it's a good thing that you have union provided health benefits that can treat.
And that's right, our new PT in Cairo and all that kind of stuff. So,
deep muscle massage, deep muscle tissue. Yes,
I think it's all about stretching and whatnot. Okay. But it is it really is no joke, because people that say that I have lower back problems and whatever, until you have them, you're like, oh yeah, you're fine. It's not.
Yes.
You know? So mine is not debilitating, but it's on its way. So anyway, that's my good news to start the day. You want to hear some other good news?
Please.
Elon v. Trump.
Man, this is
Musk
the
v.
fight
Trump.
Of the century.
I can't get enough of it. I hate to say
pretty
it.
Entertaining.
And I know it's like, look, I know it's, I mean, of course.
It's gone off the rails.
We could tie it back to workers, you know, the workers' mic and workers' rights, because, you know, each one of them are super tied into destroying workers' rights and workers in general and jobs and whatnot. But the fact that, look, I got to go back, because I think we talked about this on air. There was an over-under on how long they would remain friends.
Yeah, you had, what, 90 days?
And mine was 90 days, and I think we're at 137, something like that. So it wasn't...
You were close.
It wasn't far off. And, the you know, like, I don't know, who's your money on?
I mean, the world's richest man... Pulls a lot of strings.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump is a lame duck at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, there's talk about him running for a third term, but I don't think that's real. I don't think they're going to change the Constitution for him. So I'm wondering, and you're seeing sort of cracks in the facade with Trump now, with people in the Senate saying, like, we're not fully on board with this big, beautiful bill.
Yeah.
But they were in the House. And even there was a lot of misgivings in the House Republican caucus as well. And I'm just wondering, like, are people starting to realize, like, wait a second, we don't have to do everything this guy says?
I think when you have an Elon behind you that may, you know, either fund your campaign, maybe he's going to fund some Dems to run against people, but, you know, he got, like, what's the thing in Anchorman? Like, that got out of hand fast.
That got out real fast. I mean, the escalation went from zero to...
It went from zero to Epstein.
Yeah, that's the nuclear shot you take.
I was like, holy moly. Like,
you talk about a low blow there. I was like, whoa.
Trump
wow.
and Elon calling for Trump's impeachment.
I mean, totally nuts.
And then this whole, have you been following this taco thing?
Yes.
Trump always chickens out.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. It turns
that's
out like
keeping him up at night.
That's really bothering him.
Oh, big time.
Trump always chickens out.
Well, as we know, he doesn't have the thickest of skin.
Yeah,
our president.
That's a good point.
He doesn't take criticism too lightly. But to me, it points to the absurdity of it all. All we hear from is members saying, "I'm miserable going to D.C. We get nothing done. There's too much division between both sides of the aisle. It's pointless. I can't stand being there." And yet, they still. Like we said before, there seems to be some cracks here, but they're still under the thumb of the president, because they're worried about, yes, he's going to find someone that will run against them in a primary and take them out of office. But also, wouldn't that be a blessing? Like, hey, all right, cool. You did your time. You're out. Go lobby. Go make more money. Like,
I wouldn't want to be a politician.
Yeah, who wants to be a congressperson right now? So, like, go ahead, primary me, beat me. Thank you. You're doing me a favor.
I absolutely agree with you. You know, some of these, and it's interesting, Phil, right? You have, like, wacko Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is also saying the bill is no good, right? And then you have some other people, hard right, that say the bill is no good because it doesn't cut deep enough.
Right.
Right. It doesn't give enough money to billionaires and take money away from the poor.
Right.
It needs to take more money from the poor,
yeah.
Cut Medicaid, cut food stamps, cut SNAP, cut, you know, Social Security, blah, 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 blah. It, like...
Yeah, those deficit hawks don't care what you're cutting. They just want cuts.
And then this thing, like, where are all the deficit hawks when this thing is going to add, I don't know, how many trillion dollars? To the deficit?
Right.
And I read the thing, it was like something like the interest would be like, you know, $500 billion a year, something like that. Like, where are all those folks now, you know?
Very good question.
So it's, I don't know,
it's
whatever.
It's very rare that Marjorie Taylor Greene and I would agree on something, but her opposition was, as you know, Ken, my new pet issue / obsession, was AI. About regulating AI.
Yes,
and
right.
She said, I didn't vote for this. I mean, because, yeah, how, when this thing is coming on at the pace that we can't even imagine, why would we say, oh, no, you can't regulate it for 10 years? I mean, that's...
You would think it would be the exact opposite.
It's dangerous. Not only is it absurd, it's dangerous. It's...
Yeah.
We need to absolutely start regulating this.
Of course, otherwise...
10 years is going to be way too late.
Phil, we're going to literally be living in the Terminator.
I know.
I'm not kidding. Skynet's coming.
It's coming, man.
Wait. You just wait.
John Connor, save us.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, that's the fun, you know, / dysfunctional... government. And by the way, you know what Trump's response to Elon was? Oh, yeah? Well, then I'm going to cut all of your government contracts.
Right. And that's so, where, like, he hit Elon's nerve, because then he blew up after that.
Yeah. Like, so, like, this is what our government has become. Like,
I know.
Like 20 years ago, did you ever think, like, we'd be having this? But here, if you want to keep track, I have for you Trump's golf track. And today, he has spent 33 days golfing, which is 24.09% of his time in office he spent golfing.
On the golf course.
Yes.
At what expense to taxpayers? Do we know? I've heard somewhere in the at least tens of millions, if not upper
digits. Wait till he has his birthday, you know, military parade.
Oh, gosh.
Oh my God. It's whatever. So, anyway, that's sort of our fun stuff. You want to hear a couple of sort of feel-good stories?
I like feel good.
So, in St. Louis and in the surrounding areas, they had terrible, terrible storms a few weeks ago, right?
You horrible. Guys got
carpenters down there.
Tornadoes.
Lots of tornadoes, right? And severe, severe damage. And so, you know, you don't hear about this, right? Because it really is under the radar. Nobody's out there holding press conferences to say, like, look what we did. But a lot of the building
they
trades.
They can't even get FEMA money anymore. They can't even be declared an emergency, right?
There's no more. What emergency?
Yeah, right. Right. Now you have, that's my favorite thing. You have conservative state governors saying, right, like, can we get some help here? The government's like, nope.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What tornado?
Yeah. Right?
I didn't see a tornado.
Yeah. Whoa, that was a breeze.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Fake news. So leave it to the building trades. And I know operating engineers, Local 513, members of the coalition, the carpenters, St. Louis, your council down there, right?
Correct, from our St. Louis office.
And I know a bunch of other building trades, just, you know, under the radar. Like I said, no press, no patting themselves on the back, just sent out armies of workers, equipment, you know, skilled trades, and cleaned up this mess and, you know, just worked hard and worked for free.
Yeah, right? we donated $5,000 worth of lumber.
Amazing.
And then we had probably a few dozen carpenters out there helping out.
Yeah, I think 513 had, you know, like, literally an army of their members, and the training site, I believe, lent equipment, if I'm not mistaken, and or contractors. But, you know, you need people to run this stuff, right? It's not, like, going to fix itself. So we destroyed all your lumber, by the way. The carpenters, you know, operators just destroyed your lumber.
Yeah, that checks out.
But listen, kudos to the building trades,
yes,
right, who always step up. And
that's a part of being... That's part of the contract of being a union member, is giving back.
Yeah, for sure.
I think everyone, once you're indentured, once you join a union, the understanding is you know, you're going to help out. We're community leaders, and so we step up.
You need to. You know, you'd be shocked. Take a Google one day, you know, building trades, baseball fields. Just Google that. You'll see tons around the country where union members volunteer their time. A contractor will volunteer some equipment, lend some equipment, and they'll build a baseball field, right?
Yes.
Or they'll do something altruistic for the kids or a playground or stuff like that. They do tons of this stuff all the time, and nobody is sitting there going, look at me, I'm going to hold a press conference to show what we're doing. So you're right. I think that is part of the social contract of being in a union, especially the building trades. So listen, we're going to take a quick break, and then we got a bunch of stuff to get to today, including we're going to have a segment on the coalition for the first time in a couple of years, what we've been doing, et cetera. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about Job Corps, and we're going to talk about, we got them coming on next week, and a bunch of some Supreme Court cases. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. So we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. So let's get to a couple other things. Major Supreme Court case came down the other day, and in the auspices of the country's right-hand turn to get rid of DEI, right, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yes.
The Supreme Court ruled that, you know, if you were white, male, and not gay, and not part of a protected class, and you claim discrimination, you had a higher standard than does a gay person or, you know, a member of a protected class.
This was previous
to this
case
law? To this case, yeah.
Precedent? Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So in order to prove, you know, what was basically called reverse discrimination, like you're discriminating against me because I'm white male, right?
Yes.
And, you know, for years I would always tell my members, they'd be like, it's discrimination. And I'm like, listen, you're not a black female over the age of 40. So it's not. And you're going to be very hard pressed to prove your case. So there was a woman, I think she was in Ohio, and she brought a case and said, you know, look, the fact that you hold me, a white woman, to a higher standard is unfair. It doesn't make sense. It's not right. And I lost out to, I think she said she lost out her job. She lost out a promotion or two to a couple of gay folks, and that they, you know, that she would have had to jump through more hoops than they would have had to if the shoe was on the other foot. Anyway, Supreme Court comes down.
That gets so tricky, though.
Yeah, for sure.
They could just say they were better qualified and more productive. Yeah, yeah.
Right, absolutely. And by the way, you know, once again, this is the beauty of a union contract, right? Everybody's like, oh, that senior guy's just going to step up and he's going to make millions of dollars just because he's been there forever and he's lazy. That's not the way it works.
No.
Seniority is a tiebreaker.
Right.
Right? People don't realize that, right? So if two guys are going for a promotion and they're both completely equally qualified, of course, give it to the most senior guy. He's been there for a long time. But if the younger guy is head and shoulders above, he gets it. End of discussion.
Yes.
And that's a union myth that we should bust one day. Anyway, so the Supreme Court unanimously, which is really crazy, unanimously ruled that that case needs to get sent down back to the lower courts, and they need to reevaluate the fact that there's a higher standard for non-protected class in terms of discrimination claims. So what does that mean?
Even the liberal justices sign off on
all
that.
Of them.
Wow.
And I think one of the liberal justices actually wrote the opinion.
Huh.
And so what does that mean? That means that you are going to see a lot more discrimination cases from white males. You know,
they have some grievances.
Holy cow, do they ever. And while the world is turning against DEI and, doing the right thing by minorities or giving them a leg up or giving them a chance, and, you know, et cetera. Now this is just yet another tool in the anti-DEI toolbox. So, fascinating case.
Good luck with that caseload. There's going to be a flood of lawsuits.
I'm gonna open up the white male discrimination firm.
Yeah.
Are you white? Are you male? Have you been discriminated against? Come see Ken Edwards.
Oh, my Lord.
It's going to, I mean.
You'll be richer than Elon.
Oh, yeah. I won't have my own rocket, though.
Yeah, right.
Which, by the way, once again, like, I got to go back to this for a second, Phil.
I think there was another mishap.
Right? There's another mishap, but, like, how does Elon get to blast a rocket into space, and it blows up, and it blows up over the Indian Ocean, and all the debris falls into the Indian Ocean, including jet fuel and, you know, all this stuff.
Black boxes.
Whatever, but it's just sitting in, it's just polluting the Earth, and that's okay?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. So let me ask you this, Phil. Bob Bruno had something in that. There's been a whole bunch of other, you know, pundits, et cetera, talking about, you know, this big, beautiful bill and how it relates to the working class, right? To the worker bees.
Yes.
What did Bob say?
This is the talk everywhere right now. Trump's big, beautiful bill. Mm-hmm. Which is actually its name.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
That's BBB? That's the name of the congressional record. Mm-hmm. Gotta love it. And the impact, and this is where the fight with Elon stemmed from. I mean, this is ground zero of the current administration and what's happening in Congress right now. Obviously, the bill passed the House by a one-vote margin, I believe.
Yeah.
And now it's in the Senate, and the Senate has misgivings, and Trump said he wants the bill on his desk signed by the end of this month, but
July 4th, I think he said, right? Is that just that
correct? So we'll see if it gets there. Obviously, said there's going to be a lot of changes coming up, but our good friend Professor Bob Bruno at the University of Illinois, our in-house labor historian and just overall expert on the labor movement.
Yeah,
he always writes, and we should plug his Substack. He's got a newsletter he puts out, and I'm a big fan of it.
Same.
And he had something that sort of just took a deep dive into the big, beautiful bill. And it's, you know, and he broke down what the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, and that's a nonpartisan wing of government that analyzes any spending bills. And they basically said that this bill would give households in the top 1% a $300,000 tax cut.
Oof.
While those of us in the working class are, we don't get treated as well. And actually,
shocking.
People, the 33 million working class households get nothing. And even worse, earners in the lowest 10% of the income scale would see their financial resources depleted by about 2% of their income based on this bill. So the poor are going to get poorer
right.
under this bill.
The rich are going to get richer.
The rich are going to get richer. And we wonder how we're going to survive as a society without unions looking out for the working class. I just don't see how anyone in their right mind could say, oh, no, this is a good policy for the middle class.
First of all, these senators and Congress people have to read the bill. It's 1,000 pages, and
yes.
Some of them have been caught like live saying, you know, I never actually read that part, right?
Correct.
Like, I changed my mind. You should read the thing, right? Or hire somebody to read it for you.
Yes.
But then it cuts $880 billion from energy and commerce, $230 billion from agriculture, $330 billion from education and workforce. I mean, these are jobs. These are things that provide jobs, green energy, wind farms, electric vehicles, charging stations, rail, whatever you want to call it. These are job creation. And so cutting these, you know, programs or money for these programs is going to take us backwards. End of discussion. It just is.
Totally.
So this thing, I hope it gets tanked, period, and needs a serious rewrite, at least, and having some, you know, some adults in the room when they're writing it. So
yeah,
we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some cool coalition initiatives, the coalition in general, and we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So, listen, we haven't talked about the actual coalition in quite some time. And I think you've noticed that it used to be, you know, The Workers' Mic powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and few months ago, we pivoted to the National Coalition of Labor. So we've sort of moved outside of the Midwest as we've continued to grow. And the whole concept, of course, is to, you know, grow, add members, add benefits, lower the cost, add members, add benefits, lower the cost, and it seems to be working. So just recently, like literally just recently, we brought on ICOPS, right? That was Alex Dunn. He was at Cafe Beyond.
Yep. Former guest.
Yeah. Two musicians locals, one in Toledo, one in Duluth. Plumbers and pipe fitters in
musicians
Kentucky.
Locals in Toledo and Duluth. How about that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
I know, right? Yeah. They're very, very, very small. But, you know, like, listen, you imagine a union, and one of them, by the way, they had life insurance for their members. They have 100 people. They were paying, I want to say, 18 times what we charge.
Wow.
Yeah. Because they're so small. They don't have the economies of scale. So when you're small, you know, you can leverage the numbers of this coalition. It works really, really well.
So how long did it take them to sign the contract to join us?
About a minute.
About a minute. Yeah, we're in.
Yeah. Some of them I have not met, which is unusual for me because I like to actually lay eyes on people. But we have the plumbers and pipe fitters in Louisville, Kentucky. We got operating engineers, 571. They're in Omaha. Labors.
Shout out Omaha.
Yeah, hell yeah. We got another UA local down in Belleville, 101. We got ironworkers in Wisconsin. Some laborers, 727. We got Teamsters Local 50 down south. Painters Local 363. Laborers 393. Laborers 751. Laborers 177 in Des Moines, Iowa.
Wow.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Send us an email. Let us know you're listening.
Yeah, we're going to be going.
Stand up and be counted.
And then just recently, Minnesota, an IBW local that we've been talking to for quite some time, Local 292. They're massive, like 6,000 members. They're joining. And then hopefully we'll have some good news about Unite Here Local One shortly. And there's just a, you know.
So how many states did I hear?
I think we're over 20 states now. And I just got an email from a local in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. So I think we'll take a ride out there.
So we go all the way to the coasts.
We are now starting.
On the east.
Yeah.
How far west do we go?
I think, what's further west? Nebraska is further than Iowa, right?
Correct.
Yes. So I think we're as far as Nebraska, okay. Oklahoma, you know, I don't know, Phil. I don't know. You know that I'm not particularly good at geography.
Yeah, not your strong suit. But
it's definitely not my strong suit. But, you know, we're getting there. And like I said, I think that's why I have sciatica, because like an idiot, I've been driving all over God's creation. I need to start flying. But listen, so
you need to get an NCL tour bus.
Tour bus? So anyway, but I want to say a couple of things. Number one is, if you get a chance, for the listeners, go to our website, coalitionoflabor.org. I'm going to say it again, coalitionoflabor.org. Or just Google the National Coalition of Labor. We have an app now. You can download it in both Google and, or whatever it is, Android and iPhone.
iOS.
And yeah, and you can now look at all the benefits that we have, you know, added, and we've added a ton. Like, we have short-term disability now. We have pet insurance. It's just the goofiest thing in the world, but it's
you
popular.
Were skeptical of insurance, but they love it.
People like it. People are insuring their pets. And just, you know, just a whole plethora of benefits. We're going to be rolling out long-term care insurance. So as you know that, you know, when you get older, you know, going to these nursing homes is expensive. It's like, it's cost prohibitive.
Yes.
And unless you start saving early, you simply can't afford it.
It's big bucks.
Yeah, you run through your life savings. I mean,
more than people pay for their mortgage. So
right, but you're sort of between a rock and a hard place because you have no place to, you know, you can't live by yourself anymore.
Yes.
So either you get home health care, which is also expensive, mm-hmm. or you got to go into a facility. So we're going to roll out long-term care insurance.
Is that a savings plan, or how does that work?
It's an insurance plan that actually accumulates money.
Okay.
So it's going to be long-term care with a whole life piece, and then you spend that whatever, and then God forbid you pass away, it has a cash value as well.
Cool.
So we've been working really hard on that for a couple of years. And, you know, what I want to tell people out there is this. I get a ton of calls, and let me give you the phone number. It is 800-433-4444. 800-433-2099. I'm going to say it again, 800-433-2099. That's our number.
That's the bat phone.
It literally goes to a cell phone.
Yes.
That either Ed and I carry around with us 24/7.
That I can attest you are tethered to and answer at any moment of the day.
I certainly do. But you can always call that number. But I get a lot of calls from people that are not in the coalition, say like, hey, I'm a, you know, I don't know, sheet metal worker, local blank, and, you know, how do we get in this coalition? Can I just join? Because I looked at your benefits and I just, like, I want those benefits. Can I join? And the answer is no. You have to join with your union. With so I just union. Tell them, I'm like, listen, go talk to your union leadership and say like, hey, my cousin, because I get this too, like, my cousin's a 727 member of the team, so he gets this, and I don't, and I'm a blank member or whatever. I'm like, yeah, talk to your leadership and ask them to take a look at it, because the cost is, Phil, for all the things that we offer, right, life insurance, free roadside assistance, legal
free
services,
legal.
Right, which we got from the Carpenters. Nick Cortese and Union
That's
Legal
right.
Services used to be your guy's
yep.
attorney. And
discounted education,
yeah,
retail discounts.
We got discounted college. We have financial planning through Megan Financial,
right.
which is worth its weight in gold. You know, we're opening up clinics with Premise Health. We have conceal and carry. We have a discount for Costco. I mean, it's just the world's your oyster. And people are like, oh my God, like that's got to be crazy expensive. And it was a little bit more expensive when we started, but I want to just give you a means of example. For $10,000 of life insurance and $5,000 of AD&D and every other benefit that I just listed, free roadside assistance, legal services, you know, every single thing that I just listed, and then some, if you look on the website, when we started, that was $3 per member per month. Today, it's $2.07.
$2. Wow.
We have... So we decided, right, we used to only have one plan. That was the plan. And we decided that as we got bigger, we could, you know, once again, leverage.
Have a tiered plan.
And so we have a couple of different tiers. So we have A through D. And the only difference is the amount of life insurance.
Of coverage.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Everything else is exactly the same. And so we now have a plan that has $2,500 worth of life insurance, $2,500 worth of accidental death and dismemberment. Every other thing that I just described, it's 91 cents
wow.
per member per month. There's not a union
You're
out
giving
there.
It away.
There's not a union out there that can afford this.
Yeah.
And by the way, should get it. You know, and I go back to this thing that continues to drive me nuts, which is the American Federation of Government Employees. They have 800,000 people they represent.
AFGE, yes.
But 300,000 members.
Yes.
And let's say you were to offer them a program like ours for 91 cents, and you picked up 300,000 more members paying, you know, $20 a month or whatever it is that they pay, you'd be money ahead.
Yes.
Right? It's just simple math.
Yes.
And I got to get to some of these.
Those 500,000 free riders, they don't get it.
Yeah.
They're out.
Right. Yeah. And if they don't, join the, you know, join the union, they don't get any of the benefits of coalition.
Correct.
But if I'm one of those free riders, A, I'm petrified for my job right now, right?
Yes.
So the union needs the money, needs the resources. They're like laying off half their staff, et cetera. But B, like, would I pay whatever it is, $30-$40 a month to get every single benefit that I just listed? It's a no-brainer, right? It's literally your money ahead. So for the members that are listening out there of unions that don't have it, feel free to call us, look at our website, send us an email. You can send it on our website or talk to your union leadership.
Yes.
Right? And ask them, like, hey, why don't you take a look at this?
Do you ever envision a day where an individual could join without their local joining?
I don't know. You know, it's a good question. You know, the whole concept is economies of scale, right?
Yeah.
Strength in numbers. And, you know, I would say in the next month, we're going to scream over 300,000 members.
It's a big number.
You know, in a few weeks, Phil, I'm actually was invited to the Boilermakers. They're having a national meeting of all the business managers throughout the country. And it'll be my first time presenting to an international, right? So if we get an international to join, that's game changers.
That's big.
Right? So imagine, like, you know, if the entire labor movement joined, you know, the cost A would be next to nothing. It would be a value add, right?
Yeah.
To be in a union while unions are already having, you know, they're successful. But here's a, you know, when was the last time that labor had a new tool in the toolbox? Like, we keep getting them taken away from us, you know?
True.
Things get harder to organize and impediments and all this kind of nonsense. Unless you live, you know, like here in Illinois, where, you know, we're constantly pushing the envelope on pro-workers' rights,
right,
you know, legislation and things like that.
We're a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah, that's for sure. Several things. One is to fight right to work. Number two, it's a value add. But number three, you know, it helps organize. Right. So if you're if you're out on a job site and you're a union organizer and you can hand them a contract that says, hey, brothers, this is a contract that we have. Here's your benefits. Right. And oh, by the way, on day one, you get all these other benefits. Right. Because I've always heard the knock, which is, yeah, those benefits are great. I'm going to see them in 40 years when I retire.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they like the wages. But and the health insurance or whatever. But when you're young, you're like, I don't even need health insurance. I just want all my money on the check.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that is my that's my pitch for the current status of the coalition. We've been very, very lucky to have some good vendors, actually all good vendors. We're very loyal to them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They took a chance with us.
And they're loyal to us.
And vary and have, you know, done the right thing.
Support
and,
unions.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be able to pass your muster to make sure that these are solidly pro-union companies.
Well, we're going to have an announcement in that regard, Phil. Okay. And I'm not going to say what it is yet because the ink isn't dry. I have to dot a couple more I's and cross some T's. But we are going to have an announcement in that regard soon.
Ooh.
I'm going to tease that a little bit. But, you
know,
we got to put our money where our mouth is.
Yeah.
We got to shop American. We got to buy American, right?
Love it.
And we got to make sure that the jobs that we have and that our vendors have stay right here in the United States. So, like, you know, if you call Phil, if you called, you know, Nick Cortese from Union Legal Services, you know who you're going to talk to?
Nick Cortese from Union Legal Services.
Right. You're not going to talk to, you know, a computer. What, dial one for this and dial two for that. And, you know, what's your issue?
Welcome to AI legal chatbots.
And if you call our, you know, have an insurance claim or have a question or whatever, you're going to talk to one of the, you know, the young men that work for Coker, you know, and onwards and onwards. You're going to talk to a live human being. That's really important to us. That's why, you know, I've been tempted, Phil, to change the outgoing voicemail on the coalition's phone to go press one for the legal services, press two for roadside assistance, press three for this. I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough buttons on the phone.
We might have to do it, though, the week of Ed's wedding, right? Because you're going to be there.
I'll be there.
I'm going to be there. And Ed's going to be there. So who's going to be answering the phone?
Who else we got? Ashley, welcome aboard.
Yeah, congratulations. You just got volunteered to answer the phone for a week for us.
Hey, I wanted to ask also, what is the total amount of coverage for members of the coalition? I know the carpenters, we're very proud that we have some of the highest usage of all the members.
You guys have a very high percentage of members that when it comes to time to buy supplemental coverage, carpenters are usually number one.
Woohoo!
Well, you also have the numbers.
All right.
Right?
Come on, don't rain on our parade, okay?
But,
per capita.
Yes, but right now we have over $10 billion in life insurance, accidental death.
$10 billion?
Billion with a B.
Billions?
We have 10...
billions and 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 billions.
That's a big number.
That's about what he's going to cost the deficit.
When you started this, did you have any expectation you'd get anywhere close to $10 billion in coverage?
No.
Yeah.
No. I was shocked and amazed. We found a spot that people obviously needed. Unfortunately, it has paid out $50 million in death benefits so far. But, you know, it's a humbling feeling when somebody calls and they say, you know, but for this program, I would have lost my house.
Of course.
You know, my husband passed away unexpectedly, early cancer, whatever. And so, yeah, well, that's it. And then the health and welfare funds of the unions, if they ever want to, and a bunch of them have, they can leverage our numbers and get our rates for their health and welfare funds.
Ah.
So, you know, we're constantly trying to just like spread the goodwill, similar to the doctor's offices. We can't make those members only benefits yet. We're trying to figure out how we can do that.
Yet.
But yeah, the number, Phil, is amazing. And, you know, kudos to Voya Financial, which in year one took a bloodbath, an absolute bloodbath, because people that were on their deathbeds, you know, bought as much coverage as they could. You know, you can buy as long as you're actively employed. I should say deathbeds, but they took a beating. Years two through now, I believe that we're Voya's largest client, which is great. And, you know, another sponsor of the show, obviously. And, you know, like right now, we're in our year one of our disability program, short-term disability, and it's through MetLife. And they're upside down a little bit. It's what they call running a little hot, if you will.
Cost of doing business.
Yeah, right. But, you know, if they stick with us, MetLife, I'm telling you, I'm talking to you, MetLife, it will, of course, even out. And you will be very happy that you did, because we've seen this borne out by tons of vendors. So anyway, so that's that. So we will be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor, Ken Edwards, Phil Davidson. So, Phil, there's an event coming up. Where is it, at your hall?
It is.
Which hall?
Our main office here in Chicago on 12 East Erie Street.
So what's the event?
It's the Catholic Lawyers Guild is hosting Workers Forum, subtitled Obstacles and Opportunities for Labor Union Organizing Advancement of Worker Rights Today. And they're going to have several labor side attorneys and firms speaking, talking about everything happening with the NLRB right now, and the Supreme Court decisions and what it means for workers, and, you know, talking about the church's long support, and it especially relevant now with our new Pope Leo the 14th, who, you know, took his name after Leo the 13th, who was a big supporter of workers' rights. And so, yeah, it'll be a cool event. Don Villar, our good friend, Secretary Treasurer of the Chicago Federation of Labor, will be speaking. They're going to have some other law professors speaking. But, yeah, it's next Thursday, starts at 11 a.m. at our hall.
All right. I think that's all you got, a listener of the week?
I do have a listener of the week. Shout out to Mike Grady from Mokina. Listens every week.
Mike Grady?
Yes.
I know Mike.
Do you?
No.
Okay. Well, Mike, sorry about that.
But I know where Mokina is.
Ken wants to meet you, so let's make that happen. But thanks for listening, and we appreciate your and everyone else's support.
I got a message, Phil, on Facebook the other day. And now that, like, the show's getting more popular and, you know, starting to just like get some of the weirdos coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And I get this.
Your stalkers?
I don't even know. It's like, how much would it cost for me to get you to write me a recommendation letter to Local 150?
Really?
I'm like, dude, what's the matter with you? And, you know, I just wrote back like, don't contact me again. And he's like, you guys aren't that smart, are you? You know, or something crazy like that. I'm like, you're going to put in writing that you want to pay me to write you a letter?
Yeah. This is what happens when you're a celebrity. You know, you have people get attached to you. And
so anyway, I did. He Venmo'd me.
I was going to say, right. Yeah, I turned it down.
I made $25. All right, listen, thanks so much. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for sponsors. Thanks for your listening support and all the emails and kind words. And we appreciate all of that. We will see you next week right here on the Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of the Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNradio.com.